the goalposts. Every other part of the field is in the shadows. Can Gilbert step into the spotlight here and tie the game? Good snap, good hold. He kick is it. Not good.
He pulled it. He missed it.
Kansas will win.
How about that defense?
He hooked it left, and Kansas will escape on a third missed field goal of the day. The Jayhawk defense rises to the occasion. They draw that line in the sand, and they emerge victorious on the shoulders of the defense.
That's right, the KU Jayhawks, their football team, not their basketball team, is 5-0 and ranked in the top 20. And here to talk about the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, every Thursday, as always, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. Well, Brian, I don't know if there is a play-by-play broadcaster in the entire country that's having a good little run that KU Sports has had, winning a national championship in men's basketball, and now 5-0 in football. So I just want to say to you and David Lawrence and everybody with the football broadcast, this is well-deserved, because you guys have suffered through so much pain, as has many KU football fans over the years. This is well deserved, and I hope you're enjoying every single second of it.
Oh, thanks, Wade. We absolutely are. It's been an incredible start to the year, no doubt. And I don't want to say out loud who the last team we lost to was, men's basketball or football, because there's some symmetry there. But you can do the math and count 11 basketball games back to February of a year ago. And yeah, it's been quite a run of 16-0 between men's basketball and football going back to late February in Fort Worth, Texas. Let's hope we keep that run coming on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm super excited. Miller's excited. We got tickets. We're going to the game. We're actually going to be in the lot where Game Day has their big trucks I saw yesterday. So we're going to get there early. We're going to have a lot of fun, and it looks like the weather's going to be really nice. And when we got those tickets a few weeks ago, little did we know that it was going to be two undefeated teams, TCU and KU, the marquee game in the Big 12 with two top 20 programs going up against each other. But that's indeed where we are. And, you know, I think TCU, if they were called Oklahoma and had the game they had last week, TCU beat Oklahoma 55-24. I think TCU would be ranked even higher than they are right now. You know how the brand name stuff goes when it comes to rankings. And we'll get more into the TCU scouting report in a little bit. But let's go back to the Iowa State game for just a moment, Brian. And what really stands out to me is, listen, this was no work of art. This was not a pretty win, as Coach Leinpold said after the game. KU's offense really struggled against the best defense in the Big 12. But they found a way to win. And we have seen how many times over the years, even when KU is competitive against teams, or they might have a lead against somebody they're not supposed to beat, they find a way to lose, right? Or the other team finds a way to beat KU. Now KU down 14-0, couple road games, no big deal, find a way to come back and win. And then you find a way to win against Iowa State. Yes, does it help that a kicker misses three field goals? Of course it does. But, you know, some people believe luck evens itself out over time. KU's had some very bad luck. Think about the Oklahoma game when Caleb Williams ripped the ball out of the running back and converted a short yardage situation. If that doesn't happen, that's kind of bad luck, a quirky play to say. And I always believe that you, for the most part, make your own luck. And this KU team, whether they're lucky, whether they're good and lucky, which I believe they were the other day, but they still made plenty of mistakes and still found a way to win in a different way when their offense didn't play well. And to me, that's a sign of a really good team.
Yeah, it's a sign of a good team and a special season when you catch a few breaks along the way. That was certainly the case in 2007 when that club raced out to an 11-0 start. They caught some breaks, and this was definitely a game in which Kansas had some good fortune. But also, the defense made big play after big play to preserve that lead and hold Iowa State to field goal tries. I mean, we're talking about 8 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, the big Kenny Logan pass breakup in the end zone. O.J. Burrows, he's the one that got the stop on third down and brought up a fourth at about 2 feet, which forced Matt Campbell to kick the field goal, which I'm sure in hindsight he regrets, probably wished he would have gone for it. But if O.J. Burrows doesn't make that tackle, we're talking about, you know, a fresh set of downs, and who knows, maybe Iowa State goes in for the game-winning score. And so a lot of, you know, great plays were made. As they say, you make your own breaks, and they caught some breaks, but they also put themselves in position to receive those breaks. So definitely a good combination of being both lucky and good, and hopefully we'll see, you know, some good fortune, but also great play continue this week. They'll need both to beat a really good TCU team that will be the fastest team we will have faced. Are they the best team we will have faced? Probably. Remains to be seen. We're always, thinking about our most recent impression, and clearly last week, 55-24 over Oklahoma, they wowed everybody. It probably is the most talented team we'll have faced, but in the same way that nobody picked Kansas to be 5-0 at this point, not many picked TCU to be ranked 17th in the country at this point and off to a perfect start. So it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds on both sides. But I do know this, we got two great quarterbacks going toe-to-toe that have both been a National Player of the Week in the first 5 weeks of the season. Jalen's looking to get back on track. Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator, looking to get back on track. I really expect Kansas offensively to kind of empty the playbook a little bit. And after a week in which they got super conservative in a neck-and-neck tight game, I think we see them really dial it up big time. And this, to me, kind of feels like a shootout. And that's not to take anything away from the Kansas defense coming off their biggest day. But looking at some of the opposing matchups that TCU is going to throw at us, I think we're going to have to score quite a bit to win this game. And I'm thinking something in the upper 30s a week after winning 14-11. So we'll see. But it's going to make for a fun Saturday, that's for sure.
No, I totally agree with you. The offense going to play a lot better this week, clearly, and the defense will be challenged, no doubt. And you look at this Kansas offense, they do have a significant injury, although they are deep at the position. Can you update us on the situation with Hyshaw, who's been so good this year?
Yeah, it's a situation they're being very careful to not give too many specifics to. Coach using the phrase out for an extended period of time. I don't expect him back anytime this month, and beyond that would be speculating. But it's definitely significant enough that we're going to have to hand the baton off to the next man up. And obviously, Devin Neal is well seasoned and experienced in his sophomore year, but we're talking about now Sevion Morrison, Kai Thomas, Torrey Lachlan having to pick up the slack along with Devin, because I think they still want to have a multitude of backs back there. You don't change who you are or what you're doing with all these multiple formations. You just ask somebody else to step into a larger role. And so Devin's your, number 1A option, but I would hope that former Topeka High Trojan Kai Thomas, who had such an outstanding season at Minnesota a year ago, I would hope this kind of catapults him into a much more prominent position. When he was healthy prior to missing the last two games to injury, he didn't quite look like the same guy that was carving up Big Ten defenses, carved up West Virginia in the bowl game a year ago for Minnesota. He looked a little more hesitant. I hope he can get back to that quick, decisive running and cutting that we saw, a year ago when he led Minnesota in rushing. If not, Sevion Morrison has certainly shown some flashes for Kansas, the Nebraska transfer. He'll factor in as well. I don't see Kansas just dumping twice the carries on Devin Neal. I think they still want to spread it around. And they know how important it is to now keep Devin healthy. So it's going to have to take a multitude of guys. But it's time for those two transfers that had a lot of hype and ink in the preseason to be thrust into the spotlight a little bit. And hopefully one of them will answer the call.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. You talked about TCU's speed. Is this the best offense that KU is facing so far this year? I ask that because West Virginia scored a lot of points against Kansas. They were explosive. Houston certainly was capable. And, of course, KU defense forced some turnovers and got some sacks in that game, some key plays. But Houston was able to get a lot of yardage, and they scored, I think it was 30 points in that game. And then we mentioned KU defense played well against Iowa State, although I will say Iowa State I thought was a little bit challenged offensively. They don't have an explosive offense per se. And I'll give you an example, and I saw it was put out there on social media. There was a 3rd-and-12 play, and Iowa State run 4 receiver set, and they all went 5 yards. Now, I don't know why you run any kind of pattern when you're 3rd-and-12 and everybody runs 7 yards short of the sticks, but that's what was on one of the plays. So that's not exactly challenging a defense and going vertical either. Is this the best offense that KU will have faced, and will it be perhaps the best offense they face, or one of the best offenses they face all year?
Great question. I think it's too early to say on the all-year thing. I think it's debatable that it's the best they've faced to this point. Mm-hmm. It certainly could be. But if you look at the Oklahoma game, they had a lot of breakdowns where it was just gaping wide open on three of their scores. And so that had as much to do with an OU breakdown as it did TCU being exemplary. And that's not taking anything away from TCU, let me be clear. But in talking with, you know, some of our people internally this week, it was head-scratching to see the misplay and the miscommunication of the Sooners in some of those instances. And so, yeah, TCU is really impressive, and they're super fast. And Duggan can beat you with his feet and his arm, and he's got all kinds of weaponry around him. But is this a juggernaut unlike any we've seen based on 1 week? I don't know. That might be, you know, putting too much stock in that game. And I realize that sounds crazy because it's Oklahoma, right? And they had 479 yards at the half, right? I think that they're very, very good. But are they otherworldly compared to what we face? No, no. And I think that's where scheduling ambitiously versus Houston, although scary at the time, you know, proves to help you later, because this is a team comparable to Houston in team speed. I will say, yes, it's the best offense we will have faced. But do I think that that's by a landslide? No. I think that it's noticeably better, but not substantially. So, to me, Kansas is battle-tested enough to hold the ground and go out there with confidence and not feel overwhelmed or overmatched in any spot. I also think that our secondary has come leaps and bounds in the first 5 weeks of this season. If you think about where Romello Dotson and Kobe Bryant and Kenny Logan have gone from and gotten to in the first five games, we've seen a lot of strides with all three of those guys, who, by the way, are numbers 1, 2, and 3 on their backs, which is kind of cool when they line up together. So I think that you know, Kansas is certainly going to be up against a very stiff test, but it's not like this is going to be a world beater unlike any we'll see the rest of the year. There's good personnel on almost all of these Big 12 teams, and we've seen that in the form of Bryce Ford Wheaton of West Virginia, Xavier Hutchinson of Iowa State. I think Brian Borland, our defensive coordinator, would tell you that everybody's got some big-time guys. You know, it's just a matter of learning what they do and trying to still do what we do defensively on the other side. So I think that, as I said, they're going to score some points, but I fully expect Kansas to get back up and get back on the track that they were on before. Not at 49 a game. That's not sustainable. But I think it's realistic to think that we can score 35-plus a game in this conference, and that might be what it takes on Saturday. But definitely looking forward to it. It's exciting to see that kind of firepower on both sides. But there have been previous years where certain teams have come in and you thought, holy moly, how in the heck are we going to cover these guys? I don't think that's necessarily the case.
TCU averaging 49 points per game so far, 38 at Colorado. Colorado's a really bad team this year, and they just fired their coach, Tarleton, which is not a test. They had 59 in that one, 42 at SMU, and, of course, they exploded for 55 at home against Oklahoma last week. So, yeah, it does bode towards a shootout, no doubt. It doesn't look like TCU's defense is certainly dominant either, and KU's defense has given up points, although last week much better. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, which means if you and I think it's a high-scoring game, it's going to turn into a 17-14 slugfest, because it seems like sometimes when we think we have it figured out, sometimes it can go the opposite way. I want to touch upon this before we get to the off-the-ball question, and that is the atmosphere, man, and the excitement that's taking place on campus. You're in the middle of it, so help us understand the excitement, because, you know, Bill Self, I think, said the other day, you know, the excitement's never been higher here at the University of Kansas. You're coming off a national championship in men's basketball. The football team's off to a 5-0 start, ranked in the top 20. ESPN Game Day is setting up, and actually in the parking lot where we're going to be, it looks like. So we're going to be close to this thing up on the hill. It's going to be an amazing scene. I think Lance Leipold said this is like a 3-hour infomercial for Kansas University, which is great for recruiting, great to promote your football program that a lot of people have been laughing at hysterically the last 10 years or so. Just give me kind of a summary, or just give us an overall look at what's taking place there in Lawrence right now, the excitement around this football program. And I'm imagining probably there are people that couldn't even name one player on the team, couldn't name the head football coach as of a few weeks ago when one person went around campus interviewing students. They didn't even know that suddenly do. It's pretty exciting and pretty amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. It's unlike anything I've been around for as a voice. I remember the excitement in 2007 when they got off of the 11-0 start, and it's akin to that. But of course, you never hosted College Game Day when that was the case. And so to have it on campus, to have all this happening right in front of us here is pretty special. And can't wait to see, you know, the droves of fans that will fill the hill, which is the popular hashtag this week, fill the hill. And can they fill it all the way up? You know, what will that look like? But those are images that they're already sending out in recruiting. I don't know if you've seen some of the KU football recruiting efforts, but they took the graphic that has the Campanile in the background behind the ESPN Game Day crew, a bunch of fans and all that, and then they take the recruit's name and they put it on the what would you call that? The little bar at the bottom that kind of previews what they're talking about on a given show or whatever. There's a technical term for it, but I'm too far removed from my TV days to remember it. But it'll say, you know, Wade Gershner. It'll say Kansas counting on big game from Wade Gershner. Yep. You know, and they're sending that out to all their recruits, you know, giving them the chance to envision what it would be like to play at Kansas, where College Game Day comes sometimes, and to be the star at Kansas. These recruits have been, you know, sharing these on social media, which is really cool to see. And so great job out of KU's recruiting team and their digital graphics team to already being, you know, on the make here to capitalize on this even before you get some of those shots on Saturday. But it's certainly been special. Just the energy that shows up to our weekly Hawk Talk shows with the capacity crowd at Johnny's Tavern and all the extra requests and fan interactions. I feel like 10 times as many people are listening to our broadcast now than previous years, which is great. And hopefully that'll continue. You know, we're just one win away from bowl eligibility, and we haven't been in a bowl game since 2008 Insight Bowl. So it's been a long time coming, buddy. Hopefully we're just getting started.
Yeah, Grady Seifert from Beloit, offensive defensive lineman. He's one of those that'll be coming down there as a potential recruit. And I saw he retweeted it, and I saw exactly what you're talking about. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, and that's smart. It's smart. Take advantage of it when the iron is hot. And there's no doubt this is going to do really good things for KU. And then, of course, there's the game. I think you and I know about the game, but I think fans are so caught up in game day and everything taking place before the game, and hopefully people still have plenty of energy to cheer on the Jayhawks during the game, because there's going to be a lot of energy expended from 8 a.m. until 11 a.m., I can assure you of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Good news is it's not going to affect the players expending energy.
Yes.
They'll stay at a hotel in Kansas City the night before. They'll bust in at the exact same time they normally would. Will there be more people there when they pull in with the buses? Absolutely. But it's not going to, you know, require anything extra of them, which is good. So I don't think it's going to be a distraction of a negative kind at all. And hopefully we put on a good show with all these people watching.
All right, this is not an off-the-wall question. I just want to give you perhaps a laugh. This came across Twitter on my computer monitor to my right. Best headline ever. There's a picture of a pig, and it says, "A pig in Australia steals 18 beers from campers, gets drunk, fights cow." That's the headline. Now that, my friends, would be some type of event to witness firsthand. I think that'd be pretty crazy. Fights a cow. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Hey,
so basically that's Arkansas versus Texas.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Pig suey.
In the Southwest Conference days. So
that's
the
right.
Big fights the cow.
I like it. All right, today is National Coaches Day. It's Off the Wall Questioner Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Today is National Coaches Day. National Coaches Day honors the men and women who inspire us to work harder and do our best. Can you think of a coach that had a really big impact on your life when you played sports? So whether it was, you know, it might have been Parks and Rec, might have been some traveling ball, whether it was first grade, fifth grade, junior high school. Can you think of a coach that you'd like to give a shout out to that maybe had an impact on your life or you really enjoyed playing for or taught you something?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, the first one that came to mind was my Landon Middle School A-team basketball coach, Kerry Renfro, who's still teaching and coaching to this day. Awesome guy. Actually, a K-State fan. That's the one area we don't agree eye to eye on. But love him. He was terrific to me. And I was not the most athletic. I was not the fastest. I could shoot a little bit. And so he put me on his squad. And there were times when I was, you know, not the logical choice to go with. But he gave me opportunities. And on an occasion or two, I stepped up and delivered a big three. So just the fact that he showed belief in me and didn't necessarily always go for the biggest, fastest, strongest, but went for a guy that he thought could be clutch. That was something that always was a vote of confidence that I really appreciated. So, Kerry Renfro, Landon Lancers, there you go.
Oh, that's an awesome answer. Thanks for sharing that. Appreciate that. And we appreciate all the coaches that put out so much time and volunteer, and many of them don't get paid for their efforts, no doubt about that. Well, we're pretty excited about Saturday. We'll have pregame 10:30, kickoff 11, KU TCU on Z96.3 Lake. Brian, it's going to be a lot of fun, and win or lose, this is going to be an experience that some people will never forget, and hopefully for KU, it's a perfect bow at the end with a W to improve the 6-0 headed into Norman next Saturday. So keep enjoying the ride and keep doing the great work, and we will continue to be listening.
Thanks, brother. I'll look for you and Miller in the parking lot on Saturday.
Sounds good, man. Take care. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, the undefeated KU Jayhawks at 5-0. And our time with Brian is always sponsored each Thursday on the ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.